today we are in the middle of a series here at Destiny called Unbroken. And we've started it at Easter, and we've had several messages on the theme Unbroken. The last few weeks we talked about learning to forgive, how to handle our guilt. Of course, last week we had a guest speaker in for our marriage retreat, and they stayed over and ministered last weekend with us. Let me tell you about next week, okay? I really want you to be engaged. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Next week, we have some special guests coming in for Mother's Day with us. Not only will all of our great mothers be here, but we also have authors of two sisters who wrote a book called Dancing on My Ashes. They had a great book that they wrote, and it's been a great seller across the nation and even around the world. You can find it in many of the major bookstores. The sisters will be here next week sharing their story. Holly Snell and Heather Gillian are sisters who, at the young ages in their early 20s, lost their husbands at the same time. And it was a tragic story, but God brought triumph through them. They're going to share through their pain. They're going to share through their loss. They're going to share how God has rebuilt their life and how God has allowed them to heal. It's going to be a great, great week. So I'm warning you now, first of all, ladies, wear waterproof mascara, because you're going to need it next week, okay? I'm sure you're going to cry next week as you hear this story and shed a lot of tears, but I believe in my spirit there's going to be a lot of healing, not just for ladies here that are going to be here, but there's also a lot of men who you've lost some things, some people very close to you, and you need to hear the story. So if you know somebody who's lost somebody and maybe still struggling with grief in their life, this will be a great, great service to have them here next Sunday morning in both services, 9 and 10:50. Well, today I'm going to take a little time out in our series, and I'm going to be talking about something that's coming up in just a few weeks. On the 24th of this month, we're going to be having a water baptism service, It's going to be big here. Water baptisms here at Destiny are really big. Matter of fact, I think we have a promo promoting this service. Let's go ahead and look at that real fast, and then we'll get right into our message.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
All right, so it's coming up on the 24th. We don't want Nacho baptizing you. I want a taste of the glory.
See what it feels like.
Anyway, it's going to be a great service here. Now, I will tell you something. I was raised and spent all of my youth and teenage years in a spirit-filled church, and never once did I hear messages on water baptism. Now, I would have water baptism service, lots of them, and but never know a lot of teaching on what water baptism means and what it actually has the power to do in our life. And actually, some of the ones who actually did at least a decent job had classes for those who signed up, but that was only taught to those who signed up, and right before they got baptized, they went to maybe a Sunday school class or some kind of class, kind of talking a little more in depth on what baptism is. But today, I believe that it's a very important message. I like to teach it here every couple of years to kind of make sure that everybody has a full understanding of the importance of water baptism, and so you can explain it and understand it. Now, if you've already been water baptized, then this is for you as well. Some of you think, well, I've already been water baptized, so this message isn't for me. Yay, finally, I get a break this week. Pastor Gene, I'm going to step on my toes. Well, good luck with that one. But anyway, I'm going to share water baptism in a way that if you've already been baptized, I want you to take great notes, and I want you to understand, because you need to know the power of the baptism that happens in your life through water baptism. Also, I want you to be able to explain and defend and be able to explain to people who ask you questions about why you believe the way you believe, and why do you water baptize, and why have you been water baptized? Well, I just did it because they were doing it. Well, that's not good enough. You need to be able to explain it. It's the very core of our salvation comes this obedience act of being water baptized. And if you've never been baptized today, this is not to break you feel condemned or to point a finger at you, but instead, we hope that it motivates you and enlightens you where you say, on the 24th, I'm ready to go public with my faith and celebrate a destiny as we do a water baptism. It's going to be a big, big day. We've already had several people sign up. It's going to be a big day here, and we're going to have a great time. And I hope if you haven't signed up that you are challenged today to say, I want to go public with my faith. So let's jump right into our message. Our text today is Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. And then Jesus came from Galilee to John, talking about John the Baptist, at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. Can you imagine this scenario? Here's John the Baptist. He's baptizing people in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up and says, baptize me. He's like, wait a minute here. You know, something's wrong with this picture. No, Christ, you baptized me. And we see Jesus said, no, John, listen, John, I need you to baptize me. He said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately. Remember this, he came up out of the water immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove alighting him upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son. You gotta have it, okay? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I believe here, there's people here today that you are longing for maybe an earthly father to say that to you. Man, I am pleased with you, son. I am pleased with you, daughter. And maybe you've longed for that to happen and you've never had that happen in your life. Let me say, this is a great opportunity for you to step up to the plate and for God to simply say this. Man, I am proud of you. I am well pleased of you. It's a great story we see unfolding, and God not only descends his Spirit, confirms us as his son, but then he adds, I'm very much pleased with you, son. Why? Because I believe there's something about obedience that unlocks the heart of God. We see this in Acts 2:41. We see where also, not just where Jesus was baptized, but we see, remember when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and they're all laughing because the Spirit of God is being poured out and they're speaking in different languages and people are like, man, they're drunk. And remember Pete, who had made all those mistakes, stands up and says, wait a minute, man. These people are not drunk on wine, but what's happening is what was prophesied by the Job. He said that, you know, and the God's going to pour out his Spirit, man. And as he began to tell them about, you know what, this same Jesus that you crucified, he is now risen from the dead. He was the Messiah. You missed it. And he shares the first New Testament message. 3,000 people were saved. Look what it says. And those who gladly received his message, they were what? Baptized. And on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine that baptismal service? It was baptized 3,000 people at one time. Tremendous, tremendous thing happening here. And we see this pattern following all throughout the New Testament where people were added to the church, they were giving their heart to Christ, and then they were being water baptized. It's the same pattern we see throughout the New Testament. It's the pattern that God has set for us, that he's wanting us, you and me, to be water baptized. So, if we're going to be water baptized, we need to know what water baptism is symbolic of, so you have a deeper understanding. So let's go right to it. Water baptism, number one, it symbolizes what I've already talked about earlier, obedience. Obedience. God is looking, in case you don't know this, God is looking for you and I to become obedient. See, our Christian walk, to sum it up, it's a walk of being obedient. Obedient to what God's asked us to do, becoming obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. I believe that water baptism is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Will we humble ourselves and be obedient to what we've been asked to do? Well, Pastor, I don't know if I really need to be baptized. I don't want to get my hair wet, and you know. Let me say this to you. If there was one person who maybe had a good excuse to skip water baptism, it would have been who? Jesus, correct. And what did Jesus do? No, he said, John, permit it to be so. I must do this. Why? Because he knew that there was going to be some people sitting around the Destiny Church saying, should I or should I not? Do I really need to or do I not? You know, I've been saved a long time. I think I'm all right. No, it's a heart issue. Water baptism is a heart issue. Will we submit and humble ourselves and do the thing that God has asked us to do when it comes to water baptism? Jesus led by example. I love it. Our Savior led by example. And we have to follow that example. It's something he's asking us to do. Romans 6:2. Look what it says. Romans 6:2-4. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ where? In baptism. We identify with him in baptism. We are joined to him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious powers of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So today the question is, have you gone public with water baptism? Have you gone public with your faith? Which brings us to our next point, is that water baptism is symbolic of identification. Going public. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Today, I know this, that we are called to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How do we do that? Through water baptism. We just read that scripture. It says we are joined with him through water baptism. We identify with the burial, the resurrection of water baptism. How many of you are true fans of the Chiefs in this room? Anybody like the Chiefs? How many here go to some of the games? Yeah, a lot of you here? I know where you've been on. I know where you're on. Okay. Well, Pastor, I was kind of sick this morning. No, you wasn't. You put it on Facebook that you were at the game. I saw you. It's okay. You just own it. You're a good fan. I'll forgive you. It's all right. How do you respond to people who say this? You know what? I am a big Chiefs fan. I'm a big fan. Oh, I'm a big fan. But I never go to the game because it's just too crowded. And man, those fans are so loud. Trying to break the decibel level all the time. They're smoking my eyes. They're out there grilling. I don't like going to games. And you know what? And last couple seasons when they wasn't doing that well, I didn't even watch them play. I don't even watch the games anymore. I don't even like, well, who's the coach? I can't even tell you who the coach is. I don't like the coach staff. Who's the quarterback? I think it's Montana or something like that. Would you and I think that person was a real fan? No. Why? Because they're ashamed to identify with them, right? You follow me now, aren't you? Okay, so there's something about identifying that connects you. You can say all you want to, oh, I'm a fan, I'm a fan, I'm a fan. But if you're ashamed to wear the t-shirt, if you never spend some time investing in your team, see, this is what happens. We believe that our faith is a personal thing. And let me tell you, you are very correct. Our faith is a very personal thing. Our God is a personal God. And your decision should be based a personal decision to follow after Christ. Nothing nobody's pressuring you to do. It should be something that responds out of your heart that, God, I need a Savior. I'm accepting you. I'm giving my life to you. But our faith is called to be personal. But it's not called to be private. Big difference. I ask you to bow your heads, and I ask you if you want to accept Christ, to look, no one's looking around, because I want that to be a personal time. I do. I want you to just to be able to make that confession and do it in a personal way. But our faith is never called to be private. It is personal, but it's not private. We should go public, and water baptism becomes our opportunity to say, you know what? I am putting on the jersey. I'm all in. I'm going for it. I'm a part of the team. I'm publicly identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of my Christ. I'm going, identifying with it. It's important. How many people do we know that, man, if they didn't ever wear a Christian t-shirt, you wouldn't know they even went to church? And even though they wear the Christian t-shirt, they don't act like it very much, do they? Water baptism becomes a way for us to go public with our faith. The third thing it also symbolizes is the washing away. The washing away of my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so water baptism becomes symbolic of that. If I want to wash my hands, what am I going to use? I'm going to use water, right? Some soap and water. If I want to cleanse myself, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to use water. Water is symbolic of the cleansing. And so when I am going to be water baptized, it's saying, you know what? I have been what? My sins have been washed away through the power of the cross, through the power of the blood shed upon the cross by my Savior. My sins have been washed away. So water baptism becomes a symbolic representation of the washing away of my sins. It also symbolizes judgment in the Bible. We see where water is symbolic of judgment. Now, how many remember the story of Noah in the great flood, right? God used the waters to flood the earth to bring judgment upon the earth. We also remember the story of Moses. Remember when Moses and the children of Israel were fleeing for their lives and Pharaoh was chasing them and they came to the Red Sea. Remember that story? And God parts the waters and the children of Israel walk across right between the waters on dry ground. That'll preach right there. Passing through the waters right there. Passing through the waters on dry ground. And it was later that when they got through, that God removed his hand. Remember that? And allowed the cloud to come. And they could go pursuing them. And the children of Israel were on the other side. And Pharaoh's army comes to pursue them as well. And after they get out in it to sea, God allows the waters to come back together, bringing judgment upon them, killing them all. So we see in Scripture where waters are also symbolic of judgment. But this is the great news of water baptism. It says we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection. And so when I am water baptized, it's signifying that I am passing through the waters. I have been made clean. I'm passing through the judgment. I'm not staying there, but I'm resurrected. All things become new in Christ. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not attached to that sin no longer, but I'm pulling away from that. I'm walking new in Christ. I'm letting go of my sorrow. I'm looking at letting go of my guilt and shame. I'm letting go of my sin and saying, Christ, I am becoming a new person in you. I'm accepting the grace that happened on the cross for my life. And I'm passing through the judgment and I have been made whole. I have been made clean. That's my judgment. I've been sentenced, and my sentence has come back. It says, not guilty. Wow. So when I pass through the waters, I'm passing through symbolic of the judgment that I have been made clean. This has set you free in your life. I am not guilty, but I am coming out clean, set free, made in His righteousness, holy and free. Symbolic of the judgment that God has placed in my life, and He has sentenced me as not guilty. Let's answer some of the questions now. This is some of the most popular questions that I get about water baptism. This is some of the most popular questions that people ask. The first one is always the baby question. Should we baptize our babies? And this is something that can sometimes be a matter of debate with people who are in different denominations or even different religions. People ask and say, should we baptize our babies? Should we not? How many think it would be a great thing if we just look at what the Bible says about it? Don't you think we should do that? How many would like to know what the Bible has to say about baptizing our babies? Would you like to know that? All right, get your pens and papers ready. Write this down. This is what the Bible says about baptizing our babies. Absolutely nothing. Well, thanks. You're a lot of help. The Bible actually says nothing about baptizing our babies. Now, we do see in Scripture where Jesus blessed the children. We see where they dedicated their babies to the Lord. And that's why we do that at Destiny. That's why we dedicate our babies to the Lord. We bless our children. We say, God, however you choose to use them, we say yes to that. We're committed to bringing them up in the teachings of Christ. We're committed to having them in the house of the Lord on a consistent basis. We're committed to saying, God, whatever you want to do with their life, do it. And so we dedicate our children to the Lord. But we don't see in Scripture where Jesus baptized babies. Now, this is not to make anybody here who's ever baptized your baby or you were baptized as a baby. Doesn't mean all of a sudden you're wrong, okay? Doesn't mean that you, oh my God, I knew it. That's why I've been struggling. My marriage has been a struggle because my parents baptized me as a baby. No, that's not it at all. Just you're a bad spouse. That's all it is. No, just playing. Come on, smile. Turn to your neighbor and say, loosen up. Loosen up, okay? Now, this is what's important about babies being dedicated to the Lord. That we say, God, we're giving them to you, but we don't. We believe here at Destiny that our babies should have a choice of a baptism. Water baptism is a choice of saying, I am publicly identifying to say, I want to live my life for Christ. And they got to have a knowledge of right and wrong. They need to have a knowledge of being able to know the decision they're making. Now, some people I know, maybe you're like me, you did it as a child, a young child, but you didn't have a full understanding of what water baptism was. And so later on in your life, when you had a different understanding, you understood the knowledge of what a water baptism really was symbolic of and what it really meant. As an adult, you said, you know what, I want to go public again. I want to do this because I have a better understanding. It's going to mean more to me now than I did when I was a kid and I had no I really didn't have an understanding of what it really meant. I just did it because everybody was doing it. And so there's nothing wrong with that. We've done a lot of people here who were baptized as a small child and wanted to do it again as an adult on their own. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, and this wasn't, listen, if you know somebody or it's not for you to go and say, ah, you were wrong. I told you he was wrong. I mean, you're not hurting them. All I'm trying to just prove to you is this, that the Bible does not require us or ask us to baptize our babies. So therefore, we believe we wait and let the babies are old enough to make a decision to do that on their own. The second question I get a lot of times is this the Clorox question. The Clorox question. Does the baptism wash away my sins? And let me say this to you, that the baptism waters are, there's nothing magical about the baptism waters. I've had moms that are so desperate for their children to give their heart to Christ, and they'll be like, you know what, I just got to get my son there. If I can just have you baptize him. And, you know, it does no good for that person to be baptized if they haven't, first of all, in their heart, given their life to Christ. It's because all the waters are is symbolism. It's symbolic. It's a public confession, but there's no magic thing that's going to happen because you go through the waters. It's not a magic, all right, all my sins are washed away. No, what happened to grace happened on the cross. And the moment I accept Christ as my Savior, I am walking in His grace. I am living in His grace. And so the public baptism becomes that confession, but it's not the act itself that saves me. I don't become more spiritually clean because I was baptized. No, the spiritual cleanse comes from the power of the cross, not the powers of the waters. Okay? Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace and not by works. We are saved by what? Grace and not by works. It's not the works of baptism, it's the saving of the grace. The third part is the attorney question. This is the big one right here. The attorney question. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, it's simply this. Legally speaking, do you have to be water baptized to go to heaven? That's the big question everybody asks. Legally speaking, do you have to be water baptized to go to heaven? And I say, let's go back to Scripture and let's see the pattern and see what Scripture says. Now, even though we see where we are commanded to be water baptized and we see where we're to follow Christ's example and we see where they baptized through water baptism, we also see in Scripture where certain people gave their heart to Christ and did not get water baptized, you still went to heaven. Case in point, let's talk about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, remember when he was there? They're hanging on the cross and he looks at Jesus and says, this man's done nothing wrong. He, in his own way, begins to confess Jesus as Lord and saying, hey, this man's done no wrong. Leave him, leave this man alone. And in his mind, in his heart, he was doing his best to confess Jesus as Lord. And Christ looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise, right? He didn't say, guards, take this man down from the cross. Baptize him, then nail him back to the cross again. It didn't happen. But this is the bigger question. The real concern is whether or not, the big question is not, can I go to heaven without being water baptized? The big question is this, why would you ask that question? See, attorneys look for loopholes, don't they? That's what they're paid to do, to find loopholes to help us get out of the trouble. Help us avoid the punishment. Help us avoid having to pay this or being found guilty. So their job is to find loopholes in the laws or loopholes in the contract. And if you're searching for a loophole to avoid doing the very elementary things that Christ has asked us to do, there's a heart problem going on. Are you following me here? There's something wrong when we're looking for ways to avoid the very first commands that we were asked to do. That was to follow him in water baptism. So if that's the question you have, it's all right to have that theological question and say, I just want to know the answer, versus saying, well, I just want to know so I know whether or not I need to get baptized or not. Because if I don't have to do it, then I'm not going to do it. Right? If I don't have to, well, how many have ever had a child who you know is just trying to get by? How does it make you feel as a parent when you have a child that you know has more ability, can give you more effort, can do better, and they're just trying to get by? Does that drive you crazy as a parent? Yes, it does. Because our job as a parent is to push our children to excel to the best of their ability. And whatever that looks like, we accept, we're okay with. But when they're just trying to get by, it will drive you crazy as a parent. And all the parents said, amen. Right? It drives you crazy. I cleaned my room. Really? Taking your clothes that were on the bed and throwing them under your bed is not cleaning your room. You're just trying to barely get by inspection, you know? We've got to see this. And there's something about this that we've got to realize that it's water baptism is not just trying to get by. All right. I'm just trying to do enough to get into heaven. I'm just trying to get enough. I just want to have a little shack in the corner of heaven and I'm okay. No, I want to have a crown full of jewels that I can throw at my Savior's feet and say, worthy is the Lamb. I gave you everything because you gave me everything. And I did everything in my power to be obedient, to follow your example and to follow the teachings you laid out for me. I wasn't perfect, but your grace made me perfect. But I did everything in my ability to follow your example. Instead of saying, boy, I did everything in my ability just to barely get in. Are you seeing the difference in our heart? See, that's why I said water baptism is a heart issue. We need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get into that trap. And the last question is the H2O question. Should we sprinkle? Should we splash? Should we jump in and do flips? I remember one time when my kids were really young, they were taking the bath, and my kids were wanting me to baptize them. We had just done a baptism at the service, and I mean, they were just really, really young. And like, baptize me in the bathtub, Daddy. And so we're doing it for fun, baptize them in the bathtub. And I remember Landon. Where you at, Landon? Landon. He's bigger than me now, but at the time, he wasn't that big. Maybe four at the oldest. And I baptize him in the bathtub and I come up and all the kids are laughing. And he stops and he looks at me so serious. He says, "Dad, does this mean I got to be good now?" I was like, "Yes, son, go and sin no more. Yes, hallelujah. You are, hallelujah, this is soaking in." But he knew, even at 4 years old, he knew there was something about being immersed. He knew there was something about being, he's like, "Something's got to change here. I'm changing here." You see, this H2O question becomes this, simply this. People ask, should we sprinkle? Should we splash? Should we take them all the way under? Should we hold them under the longer, the bigger sinner they are? What's the protocol? Well, we see the word baptism is the word that comes from the Greek word baptismo, which simply means to submerge all the way. Christ came out of the water, right? He wasn't sprinkled with water, it says he came out of the water. And so the intent of the scripture was for us to be submerged underwater. If you're going to bury something, do you sprinkle dirt on top of it? No. You dig a hole, right? And you put it all the way in, and then you put the dirt on top. So if we're going to publicly identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that's why we go under the waters and we come out of the waters, okay? And so, remember, this is what the H2O question is. We need to be submerged, okay? "Well, I knew that's what happened. My son got baptized and his ear didn't go underwater. And ever since then, he's been a pain to deal with." No, listen, you're making it too technical, okay? This is not about whether every little fingertip, you know, got underwater or not. It's about the attitude. We submerge and we bring back up, okay? But God sees what's going on. This is important. And he knows the intent of our heart. And don't worry, if your son didn't have a finger that didn't go under, he's okay. We see in Scripture where Jesus was submerged. We see in Scripture where Jesus gave us these last words in Matthew 28:19. Look what it says. One of the last things he told us is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Doing what? Baptizing them. Let's say it together. Baptizing them. One more time. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. This is what he's told us. We're to go out, create Christ followers, and baptize them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we're called to do. And so today, as I share this message, it is not a message that I want to guilt anybody into getting water baptized. You've heard me say it enough here, and I mean it very clearly, that I believe guilt produces no change. Love does, right? But sometimes we just don't have a full understanding. I believe there's people in this room that you've never been baptized simply because you didn't have a complete understanding of how important water baptism really was. I'm inviting you. If you've never been water baptized and you want to go public with your faith, I don't care if you've been saved a week or you've been saved 30 years. It doesn't make a difference. I would love to baptize you on the 24th. Either the early service or this service, either one. We would love to baptize you. It's going to be a big hoop and holler celebration going on. We got lots of people signed up already, and we would love to have you a part of that. Maybe you're here today and say, "Pastor, I was baptized as a young age. I was a real small child or as an infant. Someone baptized me." And as you talk today, I realized that I need to do this as an adult. I need to do this of my own free will, where I really understand and make that public confession and say, "I'm going for it." I baptized a lot of our staff members, a lot of our elders in our church. I baptized a lot of people in this church. And we would love to have you join the people today. And on the 24th, we're going to go big with it. I would love to have you do this if you would like to be baptized. I want you to bow your heads, though. First of all, I want to ask you the question. It's simply this. You say, "Pastor, you're talking about this confession of faith. You're talking about going public with your faith. And I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never made that decision to be a Christ follower." As you're talking today, I realize I thought it was all about water baptism, and I didn't even realize I could accept Jesus right now. Where I was at? It's the first step. And you've never prayed that prayer before. And today you want to accept Jesus. We won't do anything, like I said, to embarrass you. This is a very personal time between you and God. Nobody's looking but me. But today, if you want to accept Jesus, nobody's looking but me. I want you to raise your hand right now and say, "I want to accept Jesus Christ." It's my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Raise it right now. Say, I'm ready, Pastor. Thank you. Somebody else say, you want to join these other people? If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Say, today's my day to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior in my life. Thank you. I see those hands in the back as well. We're going to say this prayer. And I want you to, if you raise your hands, I want you to repeat after me out loud. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you just to help you along. Okay? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I surrender everything I am to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand clap. Anybody here today, you say, Pastor, I can't wait. I'm going to go public. I'm going public. Anybody here say, I want to get baptized on the 24th? Raise your hand right now. Say, I want to get baptized. Come on, give me a hand. This is going to be big. Yeah, hands going up all over the auditorium. It's going to be a big deal. I want you to stand on your feet. This is what's going to happen. We're going to baptize you on the 24th. But before you leave today, I want you to stop by the Welcome Center, sign up, give us your name and numbers so we can get a hold of you and give you details. We can't wait to baptize you. Invite your friends and your family here. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast partying that day, celebrating what God's doing in your life. It's going to be a big, big day. How many are thankful that God came to our rescue? Come on, let's sing it out to Him. He came to our rescue.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to see your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, come hold our down. In your presence and your
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you today as we're learning that we have been given power as Christians. We have been given power to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that same power lives in us. So today, God, I speak that dead things come to life. Things that people thought were dead, dead dreams, and dead marriages, and people's lives. God, speak life over them today. God, you are the God who breathes in new life. You breathe in fresh breath from heaven. And God, today I pray that God, you would breathe on us, God, giving us the strength, mercy, your grace, revelation today, God, that we can walk out of here full of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, knowing that we have been given the power to publicly identify with the walk in this resurrection power. I thank you, God, that our guilt is buried. I thank you, God, that shame is buried. I thank you, God, that our sins are washed away and we walk bright as snow in your eyes. Forgiven. Our judgment is not guilty. We have been made free. Free in you. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together one more time and bless the Lord. Today, before you leave, let me remind you of two things. If you accept Christ, stop by and get a free Bible from us. It's our gift to you. Some other information on what to do next. Also today, if you want to be water baptized, please sign the list. Let us know so we can get you on the list. We would love, love to have you a part of that service. God bless you. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say it was great to be with you today. God bless you.